One of the things that's important for us is looking outwards, not inwards. We call that reach out, and Pete and his wife Nomi look after the part of reach out which is sort of not us, but outwards across the seas, more or less. So I've asked him this morning to pull together some stories from what's been going on this summer, and to introduce a bit more about why we do that and what we do. Now, Pete comes from sort of East Anglia, that way down there, you know, falling off the edge of England. And so we're glad to have rescued him and to have brought him to Leeds and to restore him, and we're working on him. But he'd be very grateful for a warm welcome. So would you welcome Peter Sammons?
Thank you. Would you like me to do my Yorkshire accent? Or one? No, right. I do annoy my students at school by trying to be Yorkshire, saying things like graph instead of graph, grass instead of grass. I'm getting there slowly. I've been here about 4 years now, and I'm gradually learning. So do bear with me if I say things incorrectly this morning. We can have that discussion after if you like. There was a man who had been lost and walking in the desert for 2 weeks. One hot day, he sees the home of a missionary. Tired and weak, he crawls up to the house and collapses on the doorstep. The missionary finds him and nurses him back to full health. Feeling better, the man asks the missionary for directions to the nearest town. On his way out the back door, he sees the horse. He goes back to the house and says to the missionary, "Can I borrow your horse and give it back to you when I reach the next town?" The missionary says, "Of course, but there's one special thing about this horse. To make it go, you have to say, 'Thank God.' To make it stop, you have to say, 'Amen.'" Now, not paying much attention, the man says, "Okay, fine. Thank you very much." So he gets on his horse and says, "Thank God." And the horse slowly starts to walk. "Thank God, thank God." He breaks out into a trot. Eventually, he says, "Thank God, thank God, thank God." And the horse takes off. Pretty soon, he sees the cliff coming towards him. Starts to panic. "Whoa, stop, hold on." Eventually, he manages to remember the words, "Amen." The horse stops 4 inches from the cliff edge. At that point, he sits back, sighs, and says, "Thank God." That's the closest to a missionary joke I could get on the internet. It was hard. As David has said, myself, Nomi and I, we lead the overseas arm of the Reach Out. With Matt and Anne kind of oversee us in terms of the overall reach out. Nomi can't be here this morning, unfortunately. She's working, but I know that her kind of thoughts are with us at the moment. We absolutely love being part of the work that God is doing around the world and seeing people's lives changed. We've had some remarkable stories over the 2 years that we've been involved. And this morning, as David said, I'd like to just reflect on what's happened in the last year, but also set a bit about what we want to do in the future. So let's just pray. Father, I thank you for the work you're doing across this globe. Lord, I ask for more of you in our work and in the lives of every nation. Thank you for the people that are giving up their time this morning to share their stories. And I pray you'd come and speak to us as we hear what people have been up to. Amen. Matthew 28, in verse 19, is part of the Great Commission. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Okay, this is one of Jesus' core messages in that Great Commission. And I think many people wonder why, some people wonder why we focus so much time and effort on our overseas arm of our outreach when there's, you know, a lot of need in Leeds. And I can agree with that to a certain extent. But as I read the Bible, it's more and more evident that God wants us to reach all nations, not only in the Great Commission, but also when we look at our early church leaders traveling around the world desperately trying to spread the gospel. I believe for us the same applies today. It would not be right for us all to become overseas missionaries, but it is right that we all consider ourselves missionaries in some form. Whether it's here in Leeds or full-time overseas, we all have a part to play in praying, fasting, fundraising, to ensure that our actions lead to kingdom growth. Over the last few years, a few of us have been carefully praying and thinking about what we've been doing as part of our overseas arm of Reach Out. For many years, we have supported a number of projects across the globe, and many of you here today have been on trips that we've sent out. God has massively blessed those trips, and we feel privileged to have been part of them. In particular, myself and Naomi have been delighted to see the development of people pursuing their full-time calling to overseas mission. And we have one here today, and obviously I know Libby would love to be here as well, but obviously she's in Mexico. Whilst we have rejoiced in what has taken place, the last couple of years have also been a time for us to sit back and think about how we could streamline our operations somewhat. As we move forward, we believe the focus of our reach-out activities should be mission that supports church planting. We believe that the hope of the world is through the local church, and that by working with local church, we can be most effective in serving the communities that we go and visit. In the same way that we want to make Headingley our home in Leeds, so that we can grow and that we can be more effective in the way that we serve our communities, we believe that shifting our focus to focus on maybe one particular area and focusing on a partnership with the local church would enable us to actually have a far greater impact. So over the coming years, you'll probably start to hear more about that. Importantly, what it does not mean is that we stop all our reef and development work that we do. This would more simply be carried out through the local church that we partner. Nor would we want to see individuals in this room or who call themselves part of Leeds Vineyard going out on their individual personal trips that they feel called to. We will also want to continue and support our overseas mission workers, Ruth and Libby, and hopefully more in the future. And these changes, as I say, will be a gradual process that will enable us to take time to actually think about how we invest our resources, our finances, and our time into a place that we really feel called, that God wants to plant churches and establish a local church. So, that's enough about kind of the past and the future. I'd like to talk about what's happened this year. So, if I could invite down my first three guests, Diana, who went to Haiti and to London, Duncan, who went to London, and Jane, who went to Mexico. If they would like to come down. Are you coming as well, Anthony, or is it just Jane? Anthony and Jane. If you'd like to come down, we're going to have a quick interview about what they got up to. They've obviously given up a lot of time and money to do these activities, so it would be good to hear their experiences. Who's first? Duncan. Duncan, why don't you explain where you went and what you were doing?
Okay. I went to London to the Olympic outreach that, can you hear me, that we were doing. So I went down on the Friday, which is when the Olympic ceremony, opening ceremony was on, and I listened to some of it on the M25. And then I stayed with a South African couple called Greg and Karen Newell from Southwest London Vineyard. And I stayed with them the whole week. And on the Sunday, we went to Southwest London Vineyard Church, which was quite a good experience. And for me, it was great because somebody came over and did some prayer with me, and that was absolutely fantastic. And then what did we actually do in terms of what we went to do? Well, on the Saturday, Emily and Pete and I went to Putney, where the men's road race was going to go through. And we really went to just suss it out and just see what it was like and where we might want to stand and all that sort of thing, and just take in the atmosphere. And then we enjoyed watching the cyclists, although, of course, we didn't win that one, did we? And then on the Sunday, we went back in the pouring rain, and it was a ladies' race, and we really got down to it. And that's when Diana and Shakir came as well. And unfortunately, nobody from Southwest London Vineyard came with us. It was a bit awkward when people said, "Where are you from?" But what we did, we stood there and we had a banner that said Southwest London Vineyard, which was really, really useful. Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, great. There we are, in fact. And we stood there and people walked past. And what did we do? We gave out sweets. And not just like one, but a whole sweets. And so people were stopping, all sorts of people. And they said, "What are you doing?" And we said, "Well, we are. We're talking with people, offering to pray with people." And we did pray with some people. and it was great. They were welcoming, and even there was a festival going on, and the festival organizer came around and said, "What are you doing?" And we explained. They said, "Oh, it's fantastic." And there was a radio, wasn't there? A booth, wasn't there, where the local radio was doing loads of stuff. And the lady came over. "What are you doing?" And we told her. She said, "Oh, it's fantastic." And it was really, really good. And just to finish that off, we got a real impression. I mean, it was a fantastic atmosphere, like a festival. But we had an impression there were some people there who, when that festival was away, they were going to still be there and feeling a bit lonely. So we thought we'd impacted. And then just for the rest of the week, we joined in with what the South West London Vineyard people were doing, which was a local estate where they have a shop, which they call the Yard, and we were just reaching out, doing Olympic sports, and then in the evening, barbecues and stuff.
Jane Anthony, what did you get up to? Because obviously you went to Mexico primarily, I guess, to visit Libya in the first instance, but obviously you did some work while you're out there as well. So why don't you explain what you got up to?
Yes, can some of you, any of you boffins, please invent a teletransporter as fast as possible so that we can get Libby over here for these sort of things. We went out to Mexico, yes, to see Libby and also to do mission, a combination. We went out with a group from Newcastle, so it just proves that Geordies and Yorkshire people can get on well. There are a bunch of young people aged 16 to 18, led by Steve Riley, who some of you may know, under the banner of M10, mission for 10 days. Most of them were not believers, but they were enthused and impassioned to go out there and do some fantastic stuff. So we all met up in Mexico. They went via a different route to us. We all met up there, got to know each other. We kind of went along as mum and dad, in a way, really, because we were a little bit older than them. And during the course of the 2 weeks, we got involved in the projects that they were involved in, which were visiting an orphanage, and we did various jobs and played with the kids there and blessed the leaders. There's a lot of orphanages in Mexico, a lot, staggering amount of children with no mums and dads. We worked at a rehabilitation centre, a drug rehabilitation centre, where women and their children live. We built bunk beds for the kids because their beds were falling to bits, and it's not great if a bunk bed collapses, so we built them some new beds. And the worst job was building a new extension foundation through solid rock and sand, which is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, with a team. And surprisingly, the girls were brilliant at that. They really slogged away more than the lads did, which amazed me. They were an incredible bunch of young people. And the highlight was building two houses. We worked on one. There was enough of a team to do two house builds. We worked on one team. And we built a house for a lady living in a caravan with no roof on. She didn't have the best accommodation. And to hand the keys over at the end of the 2 days of the build and give the keys to her and say, "There's your new house, no strings attached. As long as you don't rent it to anyone, it's yours." It's the most amazing, wonderful thing I can imagine. It was fantastic. So that briefly was what we did.
Excellent. A really quiet 2 weeks then.
Yeah. Oh, easy.
Jane, just explain, kind of, you've done this twice now. Explain how kind of things might have changed maybe from the previous trip.
Because we went last year and then we went again this year, obviously it was familiar to us. We didn't have to sort of condition ourselves to it. We just could get straight in there. But one of the highlights really was we bumped into the sort of the granddad, who's the same age as us, of the house build that we did last year. And he was just so overwhelmed to see us in the town that he asked us all for lunch. Well, five of us that he'd sort of really gelled with. And they've got nothing, you know, really, really have not got anything. But he produced a meal for us outside the house that we built last year. And he was so emotional at the fact that we were there. And he wants us to go every year we go. He said, you know, we're family now and we're part of it and we have to go and have lunch with them. And they're just so giving. And so we feel we're almost part of the community. And that was a really nice thing.
Excellent. If we could bring in Diana. Diana, explain what you did in Haiti. Diana obviously went to London as well. She had a very busy summer. So she went to London, but then she went to Haiti for 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
So explain what you did and maybe also just explain what made you want to go to Haiti in the first place?
Okay, so if I start with the latter question,
yep.
and then work forwards. Hello? Have you got me? Vanessa and Cassius Francis, they're part of the Wesleyan Church in the West Midlands, good friends of mine, decided to go to the Dominican Republic for their wedding anniversary. And in doing that, travelled across the border to Haiti to see what God's was saying to them about Haiti. And they felt after the earthquake they really wanted to do something for the people of Haiti. So in going to Haiti, they met up with missionaries that were already there. And rather than sending money, they said, well, can you bring a team? Bring a team of people who can impart transferable skills to the children. And we were initially going to speak with teenagers, deliver two-week summer camps, delivering confidence-building, team-building skills, those sorts of things. We got there, we had about 100 children, ranging from about 1.5 years old up to about 25 years old. And we delivered skills through ICT, music and sports for 2 weeks.
And how did God provide for you to go? Because obviously you had to do a lot of fundraising. Explain to us.
Being slightly hectic that I am in my day-to-day life here in the West, in England, I didn't quite meet my fundraising target. but the team as a whole, people gave very, very generously. And so as a whole, the target met for the whole team, meant that everybody on the team was able to go. So God provided in various ways.
Excellent.
In that way.
Duncan, if I could bring you back in. We were working with obviously another church in London. How was that, and how did that enable us to maybe have more impact on the local community than if it was on our own?
Right. Well, I mean, it was their gig in the sense it's their church, their community. So it was just fantastic to go and join in. Putney's not quite where they are, but I'm hoping they'll have gone back, and because I think there's a need there. We found that anyway. But no, what the most amazing thing was this place called The Yard, which is an estate. Pete knows London far better than I do, but it just seemed to be that it was like in the middle of nowhere, in the sense that it was surrounded by completely different things, and it was high rise, bits of nicely landscaped. But where this yard place was, which is basically two shop units, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nearly every other shop unit was just boarded up. It was like there was nothing for the people. And the church had moved away from there to another venue, so they were almost like restarting being there. But just, I mean, the first day, I remember the two of us looking at each other and thinking, this isn't very organised, and it seemed so laid back, and they hadn't really advertised it, they hadn't planned anything. But it was so effective, because there was all these gangs of kids, sort of, oh, what are you doing, coming in and coming back in the evening, and the adults were coming along, and it was like, oh, there's something for us. Why are you doing it almost? What are you doing? And all we were doing, we got on the wall, there was the Olympics were on, it was all the rowing stuff, I remember. The kids were doing all the face painter stuff, well, that was great fun. And then we were, a few of us were going out to where the grassy bit was and just getting the local kids to play football and stuff and organising other Olympic events. And so that's the stuff we were doing, but it was to see how other people do it. And at first, from thinking, oh, this is just, you know, cool, aren't you organised? To actually, this is the most effective thing, because you're just there for those people. And that was, and it just made me want to come back and do it.
Very quickly, yeah.
Can I add something quickly? Very quickly. I thought it was a real blessing that we'd gone all the way from Leeds to London. And when we were at the yard in the playground, I actually met somebody from Headingley and was witnessing to her about Leeds Vineyard, which was the most amazing thing. And she was blown away that we'd come all that way. And she'd gone all that way on holiday and was being witnessed to from people in Leeds. I just thought it was quite a blessing. So hopefully she'll come at one point.
Excellent. I'm very wary of time, so these guys have got loads of stories, so please do, you know, just grab them at the end, ask them, you know, more about what they got up to, because, you know, in this time frame, we can't really go into it in too much detail, but God has really blessed and used these guys over the summer, so let's give them a round of applause, I think would be good. Myself and Naomi love the fact that there are people in this church that are willing to give up their time, their annual leave, their money to go and do this stuff. And when I hear their stories, it just makes it seem so worthwhile. As Duncan said, I was in London with Duncan, Diana, and Matt and Anne came down for the day, and Emily Marshall, who's in Hull, I think, now. And it was just fascinating to see God at work in that community over the week. As Duncan said, at the start of the week, it was poorly organized, to be honest. I was kind of stressing a bit. But as the week developed and progressed, God really blessed what was going on. The first night when we invited the youth from the estate, who usually just cycling around, not up to no good, to be honest, we invited them in, and we had 10. By the fourth night, we had 50. Now, every single week, those kids are going once a week, and they're hearing about Jesus, and they're asking questions. And hearing that shows that working through the local church, to me, enables us to leave something that's a bit more lasting. Before I hand back to David, I'd just like to highlight a few ways that maybe you could get involved in our reach out our global stuff that we do. Firstly, as we've mentioned, pray. We have seen so much happen through the power of prayer. We've seen arms healed through prayer meetings. We've seen, you know, projects come together. Prayer underpins everything that we do in Reach Out Global. You can come to our monthly prayer meeting if you're interested. As David said, it's tonight at the VC. You could also maybe just set aside some time to pray for people like Libby. I know that they really appreciate it and love hearing their stories. Brother Andrew, quite a famous missionary, said this: "If we want to leave an indelible mark on the world, there's no more powerful way to do it than by joining in God's purposes through prayer. Our prayers can go where we cannot. While many things may seem impossible from a human standpoint, in the realm of prayer, there are no impossibilities." And we firmly believe that is true in our Reach Out Global activities. Secondly, you can help fundraise. We have some trips already in the pipeline for next year, and you may want to get involved in helping us to fundraise. If you have any particular skills or ideas, please come and let us know. If you join in with some of the fundraising activities, it's a great thing to invite friends along to. People love to be able to contribute to things like going and building houses in Latvia. They love to be involved, non-Christians and Christians alike. Finally, you could go on a trip. As I said, we're really excited to announce that this next summer, summer 2013, we're going back to Latvia. We're going to be doing a kids camp this time rather than a house build. It sounds very exciting. If you're interested in that, again, speak to myself, Naomi, Howard and Ganita, who I don't think are here this morning, but just drop them an email. It's going to be a great trip, but you know, if we can take as big a team as possible, it enables us to do a lot more. So that's summer. The dates aren't set in stone yet, so that'll be summer, probably summer holidays next summer. And finally, if that doesn't appeal to you, but you are interested in doing a mission trip, short term or even long term, do come and speak to us. But also, we recommend a website called Mission Direct, where they're a great company that do 1 to 2 week mission trips. They're really, really good trips. They do go all around the world. So if you are interested in this type of stuff, have a look on their website and you know, come and speak to us, and we can support you in getting you there. But above all else, pray. Please. David.
Lord, I thank you for the people who give up their time and their energy and their money and their holidays to do this sort of stuff. And these guys who are already thinking about it or who have already committed their lives to this, we just want you to bless them today. As they plan, as they prepare, would you show them what to do? Would you speak to them? And I pray that next year they will find themselves somewhere where they're seeing your kingdom come, where they see rescue, where they see Jesus healing and rescuing people. May they find themselves in places that they just never thought could possibly be. Help them as they plan, prepare, as they get the finances together. Amen.